You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from someone who asked to be called Michelle. So Michelle from Ireland wrote in and was specifically asking about working with siblings. And I thought this was a really helpful topic because we discuss this in the coaching programs and in the collective quite frequently, but I don't know that I've spent a lot of time about it in the podcast. So I think this will be really helpful. I'm going to read some of her email and then I'll share some thoughts about how to navigate working with siblings and what that looks like practically speaking, because obviously there's some things to sort out logistically. So the email starts with, "How do you feel about working with two children from the same family? I've heard different feedback from supervisors, but I've also read that it can be good if children are dealing with the same issues, such as grief due to the loss of a parent, etc. I'm wondering how you feel about it. In the past, I have worked with siblings, but at different times. For example, taking one sibling for 6 months, and then once I finished with them, starting with the other sibling. But I have a lot of parents who are asking for me to work with two children at the same time, but in individual sessions. And I would love to know how to explain this to them better, as my typical response based on advice from supervisors is that I can't. How do you deal with this? Do you work with two or more children from the same family? Do you think this is okay? Are there any ethical considerations that exist around it? Thanks so much in advance for taking the time to answer the question. Keep doing what you're doing. This actually makes me so excited. I know so many people here in Ireland who had trained integratively that have now fully converted to child-centered, myself included, as a result of listening to your podcast. You've helped me to streamline and be far more intentional in my work with parents too. Thank you so much for the time and energy you put into your podcast." So Michelle, thank you for that encouragement, and all my Irish friends, I'm so glad that you've seen the light and converted to child-centeredness. You'll never go back, I promise you that. All right, so let's talk through siblings. And I'm gonna cover four things that popped into my head. I certainly don't think this is a comprehensive list of considerations, but certainly what I would consider to be the most four pressing considerations, if you will. So I agree with you, Michelle, what you said, that if both children in the family have dealt with the same thing. So if they both are struggling with the same issue, such as a cross-country move, or the death of a loved one, or a divorce, or a traumatic event, or some stressful experience within recent months, that they shared in the experience together and they are sharing in the processing of that together. I think that that is appropriate to see them together in joint sessions, which then at that point, it becomes group play therapy. And I might actually make a note that I'll do an episode in the future on group play sessions, because that's a whole other animal. But it becomes group work. And yes, it's sibling work, but it is defined as a group play session because you have more than one child in the room. But here's the caveat to that. If you choose from the start, so parents reach out to you and say, "We just moved, they're having a really hard time adjusting, this has been really difficult on both of them, I think both of them would benefit, I'd like you to see both of them." Okay, so from the start, you're going to work with both siblings. The caveat is you have to build a rapport and a relationship with each of them first. So what I do and what we do at the center is we suggest that you get 3 individual sessions with each child so that they get to build their own relationship and their own rapport with you as the therapist, because we understand that the relationship is paramount in child-centered work. So it would be very difficult for each child to build a rapport and a relationship with you if straight out of the gate you have joint play sessions. Because the dominant one is going to engage with you more, the less dominant one is going to engage less, and neither one of them get to have that one-on-one time where they're actually building that trust. And that bond is harder to form if there's someone else in the room. So we typically say to parents, yes, absolutely, we will work with both of your children at the same time, but we need individual sessions first so that we can work on that initiation and warm up. So that would be my suggestion if you're going to start from the beginning seeing both children. All right, if you start with one, and in your case, Michelle, you said, I have worked with siblings, but at different times. So I saw one for 6 months and then finished and then started with the other one. So if that's the case, so if you start with one, and what will often happen is they come in with one child as the pressing concern, right? So there's usually the quote problem child of the family. So they prioritize the one that quote needs the most help. And I'm air quoting both of that because all that's baloney and we all know it. But so they have the one that they say, okay, I'm prioritizing this child. Well, what happens is over the course of work and weeks and the therapeutic process, they see what takes place. They see the transformation. They see the change. They see the growth. They see the healing. And then they're like, oh my gosh, well now the other kid needs it. Because remember, legal scales of justice metaphor, right? So as one child changes, it recalibrates the whole relational dynamic in the family. And so the quote, bad kid is no longer the bad kid. So then any issues that the other children were having, which were always overshadowed by the quote, bad kid, they're even more obvious than ever. And so it's like, man, it used to be that one. Well, now it's this one. This one needs therapy too. So you will often find that even if they don't intend to have you work with both kids from the beginning, halfway through the process with one, they say, oh my gosh, now I need to get so-and-so in. All right. So if that is the case, our policy is that when the parent raises that as a question, hey, can you start seeing my other child too? Our standard response is, I wonder if you've asked my current client about that yet. I wonder if you've had any conversations with my current client about that. Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. And in either scenario, I always follow up with, okay, well, since I have the therapeutic allegiance with my client and I want to preserve that, I would never want there to be a perception of betrayal. I would never want there to be a breach of trust. So if my current client gives me permission to start working with their sibling and they're okay with it and supportive of it, then absolutely I can start working with your other child. But if my current client says no, then we will wait for my current client to be completely finished, and then we can transition into working with the other child. Because above all, you preserve the relationship. You don't want there to be a fracture. You don't want there to be a breach, a break, anything. So we always get permission from the active client. I wonder if you think it would be okay if I started working with your sibling. Or I wonder if mom told you that they really want sister to come and see me. I wonder if you would be okay with that. And if you choose to say no, then you choose for me to only work with you until you are done. And then I will work with your sister. And the child will tell you. And I've only ever had a couple kids say no. But when they say no, I honor that. And then I go back to mom or dad and I say, the child chose not to, so we're going to wait. And parents are okay with that because they understand the importance of the relationship and the trust that has been formed with the child that I started with first. So that is how we address if we're going to work with both siblings, but we've already started with one. And here's kind of a little sidebar that I think is another consideration. When a parent comes to you and says, I want you to work with both of my kids or all three of my kids, or in one case, she had five children and she wanted me to work with four of them. And when you have a mom or a dad or whomever, caregiver, that feels that all of their children are struggling in some capacity, it's usually a really, really helpful fit to say, I think CPRT would be the best solution for you. And then you advocate for why. And then you talk about how it will change the way that the parent interacts with all of the children. All of the children will get the benefit of the parenting skills, the child-centered principles, the change in the relationships between the parents and the kids. So now all of a sudden, instead of you needing to work with two, three, four children, which logistically is very difficult, you have one session with parents each week. They do play sessions at home with their children. And that takes care of the whole family system rather than just one child at a time. So I always at least approach the idea of CPRT if a parent says, yeah, I'm going to have you work with, you know, all my kids. Well, I think it would actually be more effective if you worked with your children. Let me explain why. So that would be a conversation that would be warranted in that case. And then finally, Michelle, I wanted to share some logistical thoughts with you and actually for everyone, because this is a pretty common thing, right? Many of us are asked to work with multiple children from the same family. So then logistically speaking and practically speaking, what do we do with that? Because that can be tricky, right? What if we only have one space available? And then, you know, what does that look like for the schedule, et cetera, et cetera. So here are your options. You can do a 30-30 split, meaning you're not going to do group sessions. Sorry, I should clarify that. This would be if you're going to work with both children, not in group play. So you're going to do individual sessions each week with more than one child. So you can do a 30-30 split. So you only book 1 hour. They're only paying you for 1 hour. And you give 30 to one child and 30 to the other. So they get a truncated session. So it goes from 50 to 30. But 30-minute sessions are still effective. And then you actually get to see each child individually within the span of 1 hour. That's one option. Second option is you, if they are willing and able to pay for two spots each week, then you do back-to-back sessions. So they come on Mondays at 2 and at 3. You take one back at 2, you take the next one back at 3, and they switch off. That would give them the full 50-minute therapeutic hour, and then it doesn't force the family to come more than once a week. So they get back-to-back sessions. And then the third option is alternating weeks at the same time once the relationship is established. So once you've seen each of them individually for 3 weeks straight, you can move to an every other week schedule where they get an hour each week, but it would be brother on the first week of the month, sister on the second week of the month, brother on the third week of the month, sister on the fourth week of the month. But it's still Tuesdays at 5. So their spot remains the same. They just alternate. And then keep in mind, you know, we're looking at a 30 to 40 week average for number of sessions. So if they're coming every other week, that's pushing it out to more than a year, because we're looking at probably 60 at least sessions, right, in total. But each kid would be getting the 30, but it's going to take 60 weeks to get there. So parents need to understand it doesn't delay the process and they don't go through everything they need to go through slower. It's just on a calendar, it takes longer. It doesn't mean it's going to take them 50 weeks instead of 30 if it's every other week. It just means it's going to take twice as long to get through the full course of 30 weeks for each child. All right. So Michelle, thank you so much for the question. And I hope that was helpful for all of you. And if you are wanting to kind of dive into questions like these and have these types of discussions, the collective might be a really helpful place. We have these kinds of dialogues a lot, not only in the live calls, but also in the chat. So if you wanted to check out the collective, you can go to ccptcollective.com and you can find out more about our online community, which is so much fun. Oh my gosh. All right, Michelle, thanks again. I appreciate it. To all my Irish friends, it's nice to have you on the other side of the pond listening. And I'm really grateful for each and every one of you. Thanks so much. Talk again soon. Love y'all. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.